Returning to the Sandokai. The Sandokai, the harmonious coming together of unity and difference. The next verse says, the four elements return to their own natures, like a baby taking to its mother. Fire heats, wind moves, water wets, earth is solid. Iron form, ear and sound, nose and smell, tongue and taste. So overall, the Sandokai is about seeing how both the particular and the universal are aspects of reality, and how practice is to embrace both particular and universal. Not chasing after one, not running away from one, not getting tangled up in one. And this verse is looking at the particular and saying that the energies of the universe, the elements, do what is necessary for their nature and harmonize with each other. So this is a perspective on the particular that is saying that our inner nature, the nature of the cosmos, is made up of many things which interact, intermingle, each playing their function but harmonizing with that which is around them. And for Sekito, practice is to live both with the harmonizing of the many particulars and the letting go of individuality into the universal. So returning once more to the Sandokai, the harmonious coming together of unity and difference, diversity. The next verse. Thus, in all things, the leaves spread from the root. Unity and individuality must return to the source. Noble and base are only manners of speaking. So like much of this poem, this is a poetic expression of Sekito's understanding of the middle way, the teachings of the middle way, using images from Chinese Taoism. So in the Buddhist understanding of the middle way, we embrace both the relative perspective of difference, plurality, and the absolute perspective of universality. Any experience of life is both leaves and root, one at the same time. All things, all experiences are both leaves and root, are both diversity and unity. The unity coming from the interpenetration of all things. That diversity arises from a flow of cause and conditions, not from unique individuals. So living from a place where we are not caught up in our own individuality, where we open to the oneness of the universe beyond this, experience ourselves as part of the myriad things in the universe, the interplay of them. And so don't take our ego too seriously. Noble and base are only manners of speaking. Any categorization we use, whether it's Buddhas and sentient beings, whether it is good, bad, whether it is hot, cold, all these are relative concepts, only manners of speaking, only ways of making sense of the world in which we are in. Both unity and individuality must return to the source. Both unity, oneness, and diversity are expressions of the way, are expressions of the cosmos, of the Dharma, expressions of the Dharma. And each of us individually expresses this oneness through our practice, naturally, unconsciously, and automatically. Each of us individually expresses it through our personality when it flows appropriately in harmony with those around it. So it's not necessary to force oneself to be something different from what one is, but it is necessary to abandon what one is to the cosmos and then once more manifest it appropriately in its place. Returning to the Sandokai, right in light there is darkness, but don't confront it as darkness. Right in darkness there is light, but don't see it as light. Light and dark are relative to one another, like forward and backward steps. So this image of darkness within light and light within darkness is a bit like the Taoist yin-yang symbol, which encourages us to consider the balance and merging of different energies in the world. But Sekito is not talking about the balance of energies in the relative world. He's talking about the coming together of the relative and absolute perspectives on existence. He's saying that we cannot separate the relative particular from the absolute universal, that they always are inherently present together. Just like in these optical illusions of two people kissing or a candlestick, you can never say, even if you only see one, you can never say that the other is not present. And this links to the idea in the Hanyu Shingyo that we chant, that nirvana is in samsara and samsara is in nirvana. Everyday life is in realization, and realization is always present in everyday life. So we cannot understand life through only one of these aspects. Life is always an intermingling of the personal and the universal, of the everyday and the awakened. The view of the particular is always a view of delusion, of partiality. Any attempt to make sense of the world is inevitably mistaken. So Kodo Sawaki liked to quote, I think, Master Dogen, to say, enlightenment is mistake after mistake after mistake. Awakening is to see the relative nature of our thought processes, of our categorizations, helpful, but never wholly correct. So life is about learning to live with these helpful delusions, but not take them rigid, not take them as permanent, not being pulled around by them, always stepping beyond. Light and dark are relative to one another, like forward and backward steps. Just as you can't separate the leg moving forwards from the leg moving backwards in a step that we take, similarly, we cannot separate the relative and the absolute perspectives. We can't say that one is better, that if we escape the relative for the absolute, then we're enlightened. That's not the Zen understanding. The Zen understanding is we must embrace both, we must live with both, that discriminating between the relative and the absolute, or between the everyday perspective and the enlightened perspective, is just another kind of discrimination. We must, rather than discriminating, we must integrate the relative and the absolute perspectives on life. And the way to do that, of course, is through practice, through letting go of the relative, abandoning it to the universal, and allowing it to once more emerge naturally, unconsciously, automatically in the actions of our lives. Returning to the Sandokai, all things have their function. It's a matter of use in the appropriate situation. Phenomena and principle exist like box and cover joining. They are cord like arrow points meeting. So the Sandokai is a poetic but practical text about our place in the universe, recognizing that all things, all beings, all people are uniquely individual and particular, but at the same time, manifestations of a greater unity, elements within a greater unity, expressions of a greater unity. So all things have their function. It's a matter of use in the appropriate situation. We all are able to manifest the way, are able to express the vows of the Bodhisattva in our lives, no matter how different we are from each other. The life that we have been given is always already appropriate. There's no need to search for a different life, a different character, a different personality, a different situation. The place you are is always the appropriate place to manifest the way. Phenomena and principle exist like box and cover joining. They accord like arrow points meeting. So as I said earlier, Sandokai, the word kai, Okumura explains, is a word that originally came from an agreement between two parties written on a stone that was broken in half, a clay tablet. And so those two halves of the tablet
would meet perfectly to show that the agreement had been made. And it's a word that came to mean harmonious coming together. And so again, like a box and cover, made perhaps by a traditional Chinese craftsperson who's able to make the wood and the lacquer harmonize completely and perfectly so that the cover would slide on with no give. Arrow points meeting like two archers perfectly in tune with each other so that the arrows can hit each other exactly in mid-flight. So these are representing the harmony between the unity, absolute perspective, and the relative personal perspective that we can manifest in the situation in which we are in the life that we live, the particular life we live, is already a good enough place to manifest this. Returning once more to the Sandokai, hearing the words, you should understand the source. Don't make up standards on your own. If you don't understand the path as it meets your eyes, how can you know the way as you walk? Hearing the words, you should understand the source. So Sekito is saying, do not get caught up in the words. Look where the words point. The words pointing to practice. So rather than understand the source, maybe it's experience the source, practice the source, manifest the source. Be open to the source. Do not make up standards on your own. Don't get fixed to ideas about how things should be, about how practice should be, about how one's life should be, about how the community one is in should be. Don't make up standards. Don't be rigidly attached. Anytime we use concepts, then we create a model of reality. We discriminate between good and bad, right or wrong, hot or cold. We place boundaries. And these boundaries are necessary to live, necessary to make sense of the world, necessary even to create conditions for practice to take place. But nonetheless, we should not be fixed on these. We should let go, jump beyond. To experience the source is to let go of the standards and understandings that we necessarily adopt to make sense of the world. And as Sekito says, we don't let them go to get rid of them. We let them go to see through them, to see them as relative, to see them as useful, but not absolute. If you don't understand the path as it meets your eyes, how can you know the way as you walk? And understanding the path in this case is, ironically, to not hold rigidly to any understanding of the path. Simply experience the reality of the path we walk through the practice that we engage in. Knowing the way as we walk is to let go. Understanding the path as it meets our eyes is to be present on the reality of the world in which we find ourselves. And Zazen is both a practice and an expression of exactly this.
So returning once more to the Sandokai for the final verse. Progress is not a matter of far or near. But if you're confused, mountains and rivers block the way. I humbly say to those who study the mystery, don't waste time. Progress is not a matter of far or near. Practice is not about trying to get somewhere, achieve something. And enlightenment is not having got something, whether it's an experience or an understanding or a conceptual model which you think is right. Having a rigid view of progress is to limit practice, to pull oneself away from the present moment, the reality of the experience of the now. If you are confused, mountains and rivers block the way. If you are certain, mountains and rivers block the way. Any idea of conceptual understanding, whether you think you don't have it, or whether you think you have it, is a barrier to the practice of the present moment. The practice of the present moment is to be open to the reality of the personal relative and the reality of the universal absolute, the reality of the passing thoughts and the reality of the shared, spacious, open awareness within which those thoughts pass. Any rigid holding of certainty or any clinging to confusion, to self-doubt, self-criticism, is a barrier. Mountains and rivers block the way. So accept the personal, but let go of the personal. I humbly say to those who study the mystery, to those who practice the mystery, to those who embody the mystery, don't waste time.